cannot go on, but meet your hold. For you hold my future in your hand. I cannot go on, but meet your hold. For you hold my future in your hand. My future hold, for you hold my future in your hand. Oh, shut up. You hold the future. You hold the future. You hold the future in your hand. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Welcome everyone here to this service this morning in the precious name of Jesus, bringing greetings from the Port Harcourt Healing and Deliverance Crusade, where we saw the awesomeness and the almightiness of God like never before. I'll be telling you about that crusade very, very shortly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 7 is a continuation of a message that started since Wednesday, and then continued in the first service. He said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him be. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We started discussing the subject of reason for giving since Wednesday. And this will be part 3. The objective of the preaching is to understand the purpose of giving. We see that God is excited in our giving, especially when giving is done on purpose. Every man according as he purposeth. Many people give, but not with the right purpose. Last Wednesday, we looked at about 5 reasons that make people to give. But before then, if giving must produce kingdom result, it must proceed with kingdom purpose. Giving that must be profitable must be purposeful. If the heavens must respond to our giving, we must release with purpose. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Why are we treating this subject? Because we are in our month of supernatural supply. We saw 5 reasons that people give. 1, we say that some give as a matter of religious obligation. It is part of what church said to give, so I am giving. Religious obligation. 2, Some give as a product of habit. I have just formed this habit of putting money in the offering in church. Third, some give in order to appear like others or not to be left out of action. Everybody is giving. How will it look like if something, if an offering basket passes and I don't drop anything? Fourth, some give as an act of favor to God. They consider that they are doing God favor. They consider that they are doing church favor. Very wrong. Fifthly, some give for recognition, for applause. People will applaud them. People will clap for them. Wrong. What is the Bible reason for giving? Purpose that will attract the attention of heaven. We saw four of them in the midweek service. Saw three of them in the first service. We'll see three others in this service. But let's start from the beginning. Number one is giving as an act of gratitude for the supplies and the help of God. Knowing that, we used to sing the SU song in those days. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. Your hands. Wait. Just wait. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me. Hallelujah. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. Hallelujah. Giving as an act of gratitude for the supplies and the help of God. Number two is giving as an act of praise or worship. It is worship, it is praise. In Psalm 96, verse 7 to verse 8, where we read in that midweek service, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. That is, enter his courts with praise, enter with offering as well. His giving as an act of praise or worship. Number three is giving as an act of honor. As an act of honor. Honoring God. We read in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 8. Within that midweek service, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, where have we despised your name? He said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Look at this. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept the person. Accept that person, said the Lord of hosts. And now you arrive at your state capital during Christmas and say, Your Excellency, I just brought this Christmas cow. Christmas cow that is crippled. Easter ram that is two eye blind. Just leading the ram. It's not seeing. Say, I just respect you so much, your Excellency. I just brought this for you to celebrate with your family. Is it possible? How and what we give to God is a measure of our honor. You see those kind of people that put into offering basket money that is wretched. They can't use it to buy any other thing. It's proof of dishonor. They can't use it to buy any other. That is, the money is scattered, shattered, battered. His destiny cannot even be restored. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Giving as an act of honor. Number four is, please sit down, is giving as an act of surrender or consecration. If everything I have is God's, then I am surrendering things to Him without struggle. Giving as an act of surrender. Giving as an act of consecration. That was where we stopped. Number five, in the first service we looked at, giving in acknowledgement of God's ownership of all things. That we already said, that God is the owner of everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Acknowledging that He is the owner. 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 7. What hast thou that thou did not receive? Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? And now, if you received it, why are you behaving like you never received it? 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Hallelujah. Giving. To let God know you own everything. Number six is giving as an act of love. For God so loved the world, He gave. Giving as an act of love. Whatever you do that does not include giving has not yet confirmed love. If you like, sing for your wife from now till tomorrow. Honey, I love you. And I know you know it. Honey, I love you. I want you to believe. Don't let anybody tell you that I don't love you, honey. Honey, I love you. Any day, any time. Honey, I love you. And I know you know it. I'll sing the balance later. After you have finished singing for your wife, and there is no money. She may sing back to you. Honey, I hear you, but where is the money? We need the money to prove the honey. At the end of the day, my dad will say, that song will go chop. That is why, for God so loved the world, he didn't sing. The singing is good, the dancing is good, all of it, but until it ends in giving. You understand? There are people who can do all manner of things, church, but money from the pocket to God, in our. Where? Hallelujah. It is the proof of your. You see, if you are on fire for God, if your Lord is hot for God, if your passion for God is intact, you don't need any follow up to give. Nobody needs to beg you. I started tithing in 1986. I wasn't planning to be a pastor. I became a pastor in 1996. 10 solid years, nobody advised me to give to God. Nobody. I didn't need a preaching. Hallelujah. Giving as an act of love. Number 7 is giving as an act of gratitude for the gift of life. That is, God gave you life. You read Acts chapter 17, verse 25, where the Bible said, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know, when somebody, I've seen people who lost their job because they were sick. How many of you know that? How many of you know that easily happens? You see, the organization say, you know what? We have tried for you, but we cannot keep on keeping you. I know of a banker who lost the job. Big level banker. We won't continue like this anymore. We are sorry. Heart disease, kidney disease, whatever it is, they have treated, but why am I saying that? You need health to end. You need life to end. And God is the giver of life. Job chapter 33 and in verse 4, he said, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gave me life. Your heart is beating because God made it to beat. Your kidneys are working because God is helping it to walk. Your lung is receiving breath because God assisted it to receive the breath. Your brain is working and giving you such level of intelligence that is making you to conquer massive resources. Let all those things shut down. Then you will be able to say whether this is my money. We give in appreciation for the gift of life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a lot of amen. Let me give you an example. My own giving to God. It's diverse. Lord, for this, for your help, for your mercy, for life, for grace. I gave them one day. I met an age mate of mine, looking almost like 10 years older than me, suffering. He came to ask for money. I gave him money, gave him a vehicle to use it to put it on the road so he can generate him money. I did many things for him. One, to help him. Two, in gratitude to God that I am not the one begging. What did I do differently that I am not where that man was? My classmate asking me to help him pay his child's school fees. I paid it in a hurry because I could have been the one. I paid it in a hurry. In a hurry. My classmate was at the age of 47 or 40 something, not yet married. I say, what is the challenge? He said, he's having a lot of issues. I say, go and find wife. Bring me the bill. I'll pay it. I'll pay all the bill. I could have been the one at this age, not yet married. My children are in the university already at that time, and yet my classmate is not married. Appreciation. If you don't know how to appreciate God, you can't appreciate in life. Life will depreciate. For the gift of life. Somebody said only gratefuls are not grateful. I think it was Papa Yedepo. They are not grateful. For this gift of life that you have given to me. For this help that I have seen in my life. For life itself. Lord, I am liberal towards you. The next time, just do this exercise. The number of times you could have died that you didn't die. Write it down. I've written it down before. Mine. Then you will value life the more. I had a classmate, a colleague, medical doctor in the teaching hospital in those days, who were in the same team. He had typhoid in a teaching hospital and had enteric and had perforation of the intestine, typhoid perforation, under the nose of professors of surgery, professors of internal medicine, professors of everything. He died in teaching hospital. Himself being a doctor. So the reason why you are alive is not your expertise. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Giving as an act of gratitude for the gift of life. Number 8, we are now dealing with the next service. Giving in acknowledgement of our stewardship. Acknowledgement of our stewardship of God's resources. You know what it means to be a steward? Acknowledgement of our stewardship. Acknowledgement of our caretakership. Genesis, Psalm 24 and in verse 1. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. God owns the earth. And look at what he did to Adam. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 8. Genesis chapter 2 verse 8. And then I'll read verse 15. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Caretaker. That is what we are. If the earth is the Lord's, then nobody owns anything. Am I communicating? Nobody owns anything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The way God, the way we are with God, we have the Bible is full of types and shadows. The shadow of it is Joseph in Potiphar's house. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything, and nothing was missing. Joseph didn't own it. Joseph was a caretaker. Another example, Joseph over Egypt. Look at Genesis chapter 41 and in verse 39. All right, Genesis 41 verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house. Did Joseph own the house? According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh says, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Was Joseph the owner of the land? He was over. And he took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. Did he own the chariot? Second chariot which Pharaoh had. And they cried before him. Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Did he own Egypt? Joseph was a big man in charge of another person's possession. That is what God wants to make us. He wants to make you big in charge of his property. He wants to make you influential. But everything you have influence over is still his. That was how Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel was the second in command in Babylon. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 2. If you read it, you will see how the situation. And over this, three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give a counsel to them, and that the king should have no damage, that nothing should be missing under the watch of Daniel. Daniel was a big man in charge of somebody's property. Am I communicating? I have a young man in this church who have people working under him that are millionaires. That is, they earn millions every month. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Those are big people under the services of a big person. That is what God wants us to be. God wants to make you big, but to make you to know that your bigness belongs to him. He wants you to know that what you have is not yours, that you are a mere caretaker. He first gave Abraham Isaac and then demanded for the Isaac that he gave to Abraham. And Abraham could not say no, because he knew that he didn't own the Isaac. He first spoiled Egypt and made the children of Israel
to conquer the wealth of Egypt. He gave them favor. In Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 36, he gave them massive favor. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians.
And then God returns back and he said, you know all those gold I gave you? Bring from me, I want to build a temple. I want to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. And the people gave until Moses said, stop. It is enough. That is what God is saying. I will give you plenty, but I want you to realize that you are not the owner. I am going to bless you, but I want you to realize you are not the owner of it. If there are people who can understand this, then you will step effortlessly into the realm of resources that will make you to become the envy of your generation. Lord, make me your treasurer. Lord, make me your caretaker. Make me the pipe that conducts your water. And for as long as I am the pipe, I don't own the water. The water is just passing through me and going somewhere. But as long as I carry that water, I cannot be dry. The hose cannot be dry. The pipe cannot be dry. You cannot be empty. You cannot be bankrupt. You cannot be stranded. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Is God speaking to someone? Oh, if only the church of Jesus One of our men spoke to me some time ago, and he said, if God need it, except I don't have it. He said, what do I need? I don't need anything. One other guy, the one who cleared our bill for Cameroon Crusade, he just paid off Cameroon Crusade, paid off Media Worship of last year and many other such programs. He said, I don't need anything. He said, I don't even carry money. He said, I'm not even on social media. He said, tell God to try me. He should put it in my hand. He said, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. He said, there's nothing I want to do with money. He said, I don't even know social. I'm not on social media. People, they all. Dealing in plenty figures in dollars. What a mindset. What an orientation. Look for God. Gold will look for you. Let the interest of God be more important to you than your interest. And your interest will become important to heaven. Let us stop the ownership mentality. And let us begin to move with the caretaker mentality. Let us stop the ownership mentality. I own this, I own this, I own that. And let us begin the caretaker mentality. Once you come to that point of being a caretaker, every release becomes effortless. Somebody say aloud, amen. Giving as an acknowledgement of our stewardship of God's resources. I'm sure that before this service is over, God will recruit for himself more stewards, more caretakers, more kingdom treasurers, more warehouses that will have that understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 9. Giving as a proof of mastery of money. You are a master over money. What do I mean by that? Giving as a proof of conquest of greed. The conquest of greed. The conquest of covetousness.
One of the things money desire is for people to serve it. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can serve God with mammon, but you cannot serve God and serve mammon. You can't serve God and serve money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Servants of money won't come to church if money making is at stake. Servants of money won't study the Bible in the morning if money making is at stake. Servants of money will lose a lifetime of relationship. They will become enemies of their friends if money is at stake. Money came between them. Servants of money will organize the killing of their business partner so that they can own the profit alone. We have people today who are organizing the kidnap of their masters. I'm sure you know that. Yeah. Money. You come to the point of release where you are a money master. Money has no grip over your soul, over your life. How many of you know there are people who cannot sleep until money is around where they are, beside the bed? There are people. So weird, but that's very real. They their lives run on money. I have traveled all the way from here to South America and forgot to carry $1. I didn't carry any money. I forgot. But I will never forget to pay my tithe. I can't spend $1 from my money for 38 years until I give God what is His. Are you following what I'm saying here today? First Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 17 to 19. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. This is what you do with money. Do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It is the release of it, the release, especially in kingdom direction and in the direction of the needy, that overcome, that confirms that you have mastered money and that money is not your master. You put money where it belongs. You let it run errands. You don't allow money to send you. You send it. Giving as proof of conquest of greed. And now, look at Luke 20, 12, 15. Look at Luke 12, 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. What makes you is not what you get. What makes you is what you give. Nobody is ever remembered for how much they got. President of Democratic Republic of Congo, Mobutu Sese Seko, he had the largest, literally the largest house in Africa, maybe at that time, with a landing strip, an airport in his house, an armory in his house, weapon storage. It was like a barrack. The house was like, that house is desolate today, nobody's there. Achieve amounts to nothing. But that poor woman called Mother Teresa, that little woman, couldn't be forgotten because of her givings. Gave her food in the aircraft, she would bring it and share it with the poor, fatherless, homeless people on the streets of Calcutta, India. Hallelujah. She won a Nobel Prize. Mobutu, I'm not sure he won anyone. Giving as proof of conquest of greed. And finally, giving to be a blessing and to live in the blessing. Giving to be a blessing and to live in the blessing. One thing we must know is that we have been called to be a blessing to our generation. Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 2 to verse 3. God speaking to Abraham said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Our destiny is to be a blessing. Listen to this. It is one thing to receive, but it is a higher level to release. Acts chapter 20 verse 35. Look at what he said. Then how? He said, I have showed you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord. Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, you can be happy when you get, but you are blessed when you give. Getting can make you happy. Giving makes you blessed. It's a difference. There is a joy of getting, but there is a heavier joy of giving, especially towards the causes of eternity and humanity. Listen. Big man with big houses that is affecting nobody is an unblessed man with some money. People think that everybody who have money is blessed. No. There are many people who have money who are not blessed at all. They are people with unblessed people with some money. You can't be called blessed if God is not your source. And you can't be called blessed if you reach out to nobody. The purpose of riches is outreach. Riches without outreach is wretchedness. Riches without outreach is wretchedness. Prosperity without liberality is captivity. The man is in captivity. His money put him in prison. Prosperity without generosity is captivity. He's a prisoner of his wealth. Heaven is not feeling what he has. Earth is not feeling what he has. Family members are not feeling what he has. Somebody say amen. Riches without outreach is wretchedness. Prosperity without liberality or generosity is captivity. Purpose of income is impact. If you have income, you must make impact. Income without impact is insult on your Creator. That is, you are insulting your Maker. You are ridiculing Him and telling Him you should have directed these resources to somebody else. Somebody say a loud amen. You heard something this morning. I don't know about you. Don't just survive. I have a car. I have a house. I've traveled to America. I've traveled to the UK. I have some money in my account. That is not blessing. That is survival. You are just surviving. Don't just survive. Be a blessing. We went to the crusade. Before we went to crusade in River State, we just came back yesterday. One of us asked and he said, how much is the entire bill of the crusade? Entire bill means what to pay hotel bills of. We have guest ministers, I mean, some music guests, we have venue, stadium venue paid for, we have all manner of bills. He approached the coordinator, which is the pastor hosting, who communicated with me. He was given the bill and wrote it out one hand. Not 10 million, not 20, not 30. Just wrote it out. At the end of the crusade, I said, the Lord bless you. You see the soul that was saved? All of that. They say, ha, ha, ha. That is nothing. That God is the giver of resources. That is, He's going to use as much resources as possible for the cause of the kingdom. Except God didn't bring it. A time will come, beloved, by the time you are through with your life on earth, you will look back and be glad that you didn't waste it. And you are going to have plenty money. If you have the heart, if you have the heart to do what is right, God will put it in your hands. If you have the heart to do what is right with it, God will put it in your hands. If you have the heart to do what is right with it, God will put it in your hands. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. I give three counsels in the first service or conclusion. Purpose brings pursuit, and pursuit brings possession. When you understand the purpose of anything, you are not encouraged to pursue the objective, like the purpose of giving. And when you pursue it, the outcome of pursuit is possession. That's what purpose does. Number two, purpose brings favor. And favor brings increase. When Daniel proposed in his heart, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, in the next verse, verse 9, God brought him into favor. The Bible said, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You attract the love of God when you walk with purpose. When you show God that you are not doing things aimlessly, He will love you. He will favor you. And favor brings increase. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. They were having favor. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Somebody say a loud amen. And finally, purpose purposeful giving guarantees the blessing. It is more blessed to give to the kingdom, to those who are in need, more blessed to give than to receive. I see a new day for somebody. If you are the one, you say louder, amen. We are going to pray shortly, but I want to talk about our crusade, and then we'll get into prayer. You will lift up your right hand and say, Father, I thank you for your word to me today. Thank you for purpose, the understanding of purpose in giving. Father, I receive the grace of a giver, the grace for generosity towards the kingdom. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, make me a blessing, and I will be a blessing to my generation. Help me with your blessing, and I will be a blessing. Many times people ask God, Lord, bless me, bless me. And God is asking you, bless you to do what? Okay, I bless you with what? So you can do what with it? So you can confirm that you too, you have a house, you have cars, bless you to do what? When we dropped at the airport yesterday, coming back from the crusade, the people that were at the airport, airport staff, officers and so on, were greeting us as we landed. The little thing that they served in the aircraft that was in my possession, I distributed it one by one. And that could reach only a few people. Others rushed and said, what of me? I said, I'm so sorry. Next time, we'll plan deliberately for it. The other day, we had a carton of drinks. As soon as we arrived, we dropped it for them. From the aircraft seat, we dropped it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lord, I will be a blessing. Bless me, and I will be a blessing. First, the mantle of giving, the grace of generosity. Next, bless me and I'll be a blessing. Alright, let's pray that prayer one time. Stand up on your feet and say, Father.
Father.
I receive.
I receive.
Alright, go ahead. Place on the screen. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word
to me.
To me.
Today. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the understanding of purpose in giving.
In giving.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the grace
to be
a giver and to give in generosity. Father,
make me
a blessing,
and
I will be
a blessing
to my generation.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus, make me
a blessing,
and I will be
a blessing
to my generation.
Open your
mouth and speak to God.
Father, thank you for your word to me today. Thank you for the understanding of purpose in giving.
Thank you for the grace to be a giver and to give in generosity.
Father, make me a blessing,
and I will be a blessing
in my generation.
Release upon me your blessing,
and I will be a blessing.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
You believe the Lord has heard and answered, say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of God. And so we came back from Port Harcourt Crusade yesterday. Can you show us the still pictures of the crusade? That's at the Lekaya Stadium. Place was jammed. Cars parked everywhere.
Now, I'll tell you the story. Give the Lord the praise. I like that clip. Very, very massive. Listen. When we arrived at Port Harcourt on Thursday, before I say that to you, let me tell you our itinerary. And so, on Thursday we arrived. We had the first session of crusade on Thursday evening. God healed cripples, deaf ears, tumors, and so on. Thursday evening. I'll play the clip for you shortly. And then, we had a second session of meeting. I'd like you to help me count the number of sessions we had in Paraka. And so, Thursday evening, how many sessions there? One. Commanding the day of Thursday. Ministers' conference of Friday morning. Crusade session of Friday evening. Commanding the day of Friday evening. Music / evangelistic outreach in the midnight of Friday. Groundbreaking for Dunamis Church, Port Harcourt Central. That was the groundbreaking for the Dunamis. That's the land there. It's very, very massive. It's going to have a very big mini glory dome and then have buildings and school and all of that. That is on Stadium Road in the center of the city. It cost plenty zeros. Plenty plots on that place. One of the men that was driving us, a former commissioner in that state, he said that the land was there for a long time. It was in the market. The price was well known. But those who could touch it were few. And then we went to a church to pray on their building site. That's eight now. And then you need River State University of Science and Technology fire conference on the campus, 9. Midnight prayer of Saturday, 10. First service today, and this second service now, and still counting. But the truth is, I am more energetic than some people who are just listening. Hallelujah. But listen to this. I like you. You are going to learn from this. When we arrived at Port Harcourt, the weather was black and dark, ready to rain. Get out of the aircraft. Dr. Mr. Nature looked at me and said, "What is this? What is this? What's happening here?" Later on, we got to know, and we also felt there was so much heat in Port Harcourt, and there had been no rain. The day before we came, that's Wednesday, we heard that it drizzled up to some extent. Then there was a weather forecast, according to a radio discussion that one of us said he heard, as he arrived in Port Harcourt. That day, a weather forecast for Thursday, that it was going to be a rainy day, so people should calm down. The rain will fall, and the weather will become cool. I looked at the weather, and this is the first crusade of the year. This is the crusade that will set the pace for the rest. I looked at Dr. Miss Energy and said, "The rain will not drop, not one drop." She said, "What happened?" I said, "I'll tell you later." Because I went to God, and this is my mentality. All things work together for good, not against. If God is holding crusade and God is the owner of the universe, this first crusade of the year, he can't work against himself.
So Lord, the rain will not fall. But in case you allow the rain to fall and the crusade is stopped and spoiled, then I will take it as your instruction that there shouldn't be another crusade this year. Now, this is the first one. This is the first one for the year. This is the one we are to use to run. It means you are telling me that no need for crusade this year. Maybe another year. That is, if one shower, not full rain yet, one drop. Somebody say, I fell drop. So I opened the window, look at the sky. Dr. Mr. Nigel was looking at me. I looked at the sky. Weather started shifting. I looked at it again. It shifted. By the third time, it had cleared completely. First night, fire everywhere. The power of God moved like... Because you don't keep quiet when destinies are at stake. Now, the arrival of people to the crusade will be interrupted. How far we can go under the rain will be interrupted. With this first crusade of the year, we have preached inside crusade before, inside rain before, but not this one. Second night, that one, there was no attempt at all. Weather was as clear as clarity. At the end of the second crusade, I say, want to appreciate God for how He kept the weather. Now we are aware that there is a lot of heat in Port Harcourt. We have other sessions in the morning. By the time we are through with all the sessions, the rain can fall so that the weather can be cool. So we went for groundbreaking in the night, in the morning. The rain was trying to what? I'm sure you remember the decree. So he advised himself. Went to River State University after that. Clear weather, everything clean. By the time we reached the airport, we started receiving texts and calls from town that the rain had started falling. That is, our assignment is done. And that is, God is saying, yes, you held me. I did not say crusade should not hold this year. So it is the rain that has to stop. Hey! From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom suffer violence and the violent take it by force. Whatever is yours to be taken by force, no devil can stop it. Can you say amen like you are a believer? A louder believers, amen. Just quickly take a look at the clip of the crusade, and then we shall move to the next level and pray in partition.
Tonight, we are here to let you know that Jesus is visiting us in this day. Give him a big clap, a shout, and a leap of joy. Hallelujah.
Somebody with an arthritis on the knee just got healed. The pain on the knee is gone. Run to the front quickly. Check your right knee, check your left knee, and run to the front here quickly.
When you are here, things will fly out. When you are here, Jesus, you are here.
Healing 3 years. For 3 years, she had this crippling arthritis of both knee joints. She couldn't walk. She couldn't run. But now, the power of God came on her. She's running. She's jumping.
Somebody slap that dream of the night. Last year. And she became blinded. That's 2 years now. Slapped in the dream of the night. After the slap in the dream of the night. And now she's seen. And she's seen.
7 years she couldn't see. And the cause of that declaration, she can see clearly now.
7 years?
Yes, she couldn't see.
Two eyes?
Yes.
Couldn't see. Who came with her?
Miracle. You know the entire Jesus.
The mental condition included in blinding situation. That's what she just said. It's a double case. And God is blasting out both of them. No!
Madness, and blindness.
The noise is obvious when it's brilliant.
It's obvious.
Hole in the heart, heal.
Power entered into this little child, and now he's breathing well, no noise at all. The woman came with the drugs in her bag, the drug for this child, and this is the report.
It should look for 9 million to handle a cyanotic congenital heart disease that needs open heart surgery.
This child is 1 year and 2 months failure to try.
Mahashaka Kalabayara. Child is calm, peaceful, normal, brand new brain to correct the Down syndrome.
This is Pastor Chelsea.
Pastor,
yes, sir. He came in here with 3 years heart failure. He was assisted to this crusade by the wife, who don't walk, feeling tired. But he said, while you ministered, the power of God rushed into him, the weakness left him, he jacked up by himself to walk all the way from there to the altar.
Completely immobile.
Exactly, sir.
Has congestive cardiac failure with ascites here that fill the tummy with fluid and a bilateral pitting edema. Receive fresh fire for the altar and go and deal with that devil that wants to kill you before your time. Power of the Holy Ghost, be free in the name of Jesus.
You get a word of knowledge for a lady with a name starting with the letter R.
Yes.
With a breast condition.
Yes.
Her name is Regina. She has been having breast milk coming out of her breast for 3-4 months. She's not pregnant, she's not breastfeeding, nothing. And the breast milk, as soon as that word came...
And that symptom disappeared from the right, from which breast? From the left breast. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Everybody in need of surrender to Jesus today, say it after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you in my life. Come into my life, Jesus. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. As I pour this oil on this ground, I decree that the fire of judgment will go through the land of River State, through the 23 local governments. I declare that River State shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and receive your own portion of divine visitation that came from this crusade? Lift your hands high.
Lord. All the glory. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. You are worthy. Beautiful. We give you, Lord. We give you all.
High up everywhere you are. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. And you will lift up your voice. When I say in the name of Jesus, you place your hand on yourself and scream, I receive your healing, receive your deliverance, receive your testimony, receive your visitation. Lift your hands high. Father, let something drop. Let someone be healed. Let someone be whole. Let someone be free. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every agenda of hell. Everything my Father in heaven has not planted in your life, I declare them uprooted. Receive this visitation. I will count of three. This claim I receive. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream and receive. It is your healing, it's your deliverance, it's your miracle. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3, I receive your visitation from heaven. Receive your visitation. Receive this visitation. Receive this visitation. Now. In Jesus. Precious name. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for freedom. For healing, for deliverance. I see the right knee healed. And if you have any other knee, if you have the left knee that is afflicted, check it, it is healed. I see a heart condition healed, a chest condition healed. I see a demonic spirit, a serpentine spirit that walked out of somebody. I see somebody's eyes healed. One or two eyes, not seeing clearly or not seeing at all. Right now, it is done. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise, take your seat, and quickly step to the front here if any of the things I mentioned happen to you. And you are glorious. So glorious in this place. You are glorious, so glorious in this place. I enter through the Holy of Holies. Lord, I enter through the blood. I enter to worship you. Only. What happened to you? This wound has been there for 3 years. And it's not healed. And what happened now?
I've gone to surgery 2 times.
Gone to surgery?
Why did you come out? From Bayelsa.
You couldn't move like this before. Just move the way you couldn't move before. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Come over here, Sabbath. Yeah. Congratulations. You couldn't move like this before.
This young lady who was selling running POS. So I met her. She saw the wound. She said, no, I'm taking you to Dynamic Church today.
Wow.
That was why.
Thank you, sister.
As you prayed, you know, I cannot even sit, stand very well like this.
You couldn't stand very well like this before.
Yes.
Is this your first time here?
Yeah, this is my first time.
Incredible. Are you just sitting and looking like that? Give the Lord a big clap. This is how to behave. This day is a day of good tidings. We do not well if we hold our peace. 2 Kings 7 verse 9. Don't let good things happen and people are not aware. Let the world know that you serve a God that is alive. The next thing is for you to dry up. That's the next miracle you will see. Lift up your hands. Father, so do you live in Abuja? All the way from Bayelsa, an official trip. The hotel where you are staying. POS machine.
Wow.
And she saw the wound and invited you. Lift your hands. Please link him up with our people in Bayelsa as well as he goes back. Fresh grace. Dry up, you wound. In Jesus' name. So the wound has no right to remain. Blood pressure is gone. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, sister. Yes, what happened?
Sir, our brother said, for 2 years, he has been under the attack of this spirit wife. Anytime anything good wants to come, the evil woman will appear in his dream and the thing will disappear. Say right now at the declaration, the mad spiritual wife ran away.
Mad spiritual wife. Lift up your hands in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, every stranger in my life, go back to senders. Jesus' precious name, you are free.
So you talked about the left knee condition, which was precise for her sister. She says she's had that condition for about 2 weeks now. And the pain is gone. And secondly, you mentioned serpents too. She says she sees those snakes all the time in her dreams.
Lift your hands. You are returned back to hell. Power of the Holy Ghost. Every serpentine spirit go to hell. In Jesus' name.
Our sister said, in the dream of the night, last night, a man came to her and said, this death, is it for your family? She said, no. And what she just saw was electric wire fell on her. In the dream, somewhere under her legs. She woke up with pain, feeling literally like, as if there was no blood in her system. She couldn't feel her body. She said, at the first service when you were declaring, she felt cool sensation. And now, she could feel all parts of her body like that. Like we are
every not. Spirit of death looking for anyone here, in the name of Jesus, is returned back to hell. Are you ready to say amen? Every grave they dug for you, whoever dug it, is inside that grave. Every coffin that they have positioned for you, I declare the coffin is set on fire. In Jesus' name.
There's two of them together, knee condition. 1 year, both knees. She couldn't squat. He is 4 months, couldn't squat. At the instance of the word, the pain is blasted out.
Congratulations, it's over. Heal and behold.
This is waistband condition for 2 weeks.
All healed.
All healed.
Father, thank you for everyone.
Very, very varied testimonies. Attacks on their life. She just saw something happen today and it's over. Attacks on finances, celebration, all that isolation, peptic ulcer disease, chest pain and all. She said she felt a cold breeze over her chest and it is over. She has had a spirit husband molestation for 30 years. and it affects everything about her. She would get into an interview, almost accepted, almost recruited, and then it ends. But today she felt it left
Pastor,
her.
Pastor, please find out from that man coming up. Yes, he left.
Yes, she saw it left. This young man, his seat is very far away. I wanted him to go and bring his glasses. He said he came in here unable to see with this left eye.
At all.
For how long?
Since last year, December.
You couldn't see with the left eye.
And if he doesn't wear the glasses, he can't even look towards light.
Wow.
Because of excruciating pain. As you prayed, he said, the pain is gone. He can see with the eye.
And the eye is clear.
He took off the glasses and threw it away.
Which one can see me?
This one was the one that had
close
the problem.
Close the good one. You see me? Come. Close the good one. Do what I do. Do what I do.
Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. In the name of Jesus.
This also Pentecostal disease healed. She felt a cold sensation over. Okay, this child was brought in here. What I think might be a hole in the heart, which affected his respiration. This woman brought us her neighbor breathing up, you know, very, and the baby is breathing normal now. The child is 1 year what? 3 months.
Give the Lord a praise. Father, thank you for all these testimonies. Yes.
So I wrote my request that on or before March, April, that there should be financial breakthrough. And before February, before the second week of February, there was this financial breakthrough that breakthrough that was so mind-blowing that I can't even explain.
Wow. He came here for the first time and wrote a prayer request. The last time he came here, 29th of January, 26th of January, and I asked people to write one thing. And he's trusting God for a breakthrough before April. And even before February has gone. Mind blowing. Congratulations. In the name of Jesus. And the Lord caused it to be established. And you remain faithful in the practice of the covenant. Covenant of giving and supplies. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus. Please help us. Alright. Father, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for all testimonies. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Your testimonies are permanent in Jesus' name. Celebrations as they return back to their seats.
You are a mighty God, the word is up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are a mighty God, the word is up. Hallelujah.
Can you stretch your two hands in front of you? I prophesy upon your hands, and I declare that your harvest will look for you from the north, the south, the east, and the west, in Jesus' name. We're going to honor God with our offerings, but while we do that, the most important giving is the giving of our lives. He said, my son, Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. You have not given your life to Jesus. You are living in sin. You want the yoke of sin broken. You want to be genuinely saved from the wrath to come. You want heaven to be your home at the end. Quickly stand up on your feet. What God needs from you now is not offering of money. It's the offering of your life. Come, hand over your life to Jesus. Now I'll give you the count of 10. Anywhere you are, be the first to come forward and rush quickly. One.
Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live. Lord, I want to know.
Lord, I want to know.
Lord, I want to.
Two.
Lord, I want to do.
Three.
Lord, I want to live. Yeah, just when I have.
Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight and nine and ten.
Don't
struggle to hand over your life to Jesus. You are still bound by smoking, by drinking, prostitution, masturbation, lesbianism, womanizing, gambling, fraud. All you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. You gave your life to Christ before, but you are not living the life. Anywhere you are, stand up on your feet. Put the devil to shame. I won't steal anymore, I won't lie anymore, I won't cheat anymore. Or in fact, you're not doing any of those things. But you know, God is not happy with the way you are living your life. Rush to the front again at the count of 10. Let's go. 1.
With you is one more
2.
Desire. No, with you is
3. As you come, please come with your Bibles and your bag. 5. 6. 7. 10. Blessed be your name. All of you standing in the front, place your hand on your chest. Pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I pray for you. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God be released upon you. And I call it done. In Jesus' precious name.